Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we go. This is it. This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to another Top Flight Time Machine. It is going to be a mailbag delve episode. We've had some correspondence. We've had some riddles from you.
A lot of correspondence to catch up on after the, it's the first mailbag since way before Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, the standard wasn't high, was it, before Christmas?
A few riddles come through. Just before we get into it, though, I do have a little bit of local news from my neighbourhood. As you know, there's been quite a lot of goings-on in my locale.
Oh, is this a murder update?
Unfortunately, no murder update, although I can tell you that the police car is still stationed day and night outside the murder scene.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's a massive deal, you know. I mean, it's really near my house, and so I often go past the site, and there is day and night, 24 hours, there is a car stationed outside. And very often there's other police coming and going, and what appears to be detectives too, plain clothes, old Bill. So that's quite something. But even more dramatic than that, closer to home too, neighbours. Listen to this. Hmm. So just after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, there's a sort of an elderly a couple, I would say in their early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, live opposite. They're known as the local nosy Parkers.
Okay. Every neighborhood has them.
They're very nosy, but they're quite unfriendly. They're not mean unfriendly, but they're sort of like, they'll be really looking the whole time, but then if you kind of go, all right, hello, they go and look away, right?
It's all part of the neighbourhood fabric, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We've all got people like this.
Yeah.
They're both morbidly obese. I don't know. They must be pre-retirement age, actually. So maybe we've got their age wrong, because he is often up and out early, right? In a high-vis vest.
Okay.
In his car, maybe sometimes 5:30 or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's going to do, but it appears to be a paid job.
I think he's on the roads, I reckon.
Yeah, he's probably on the roads, yeah. But then, at Christmas, tragedy struck.
No.
Because there was a huge wake at their house. The hearse, all the cars pulled up. Lots of mourners arrived in black. And I've gone, fuck, what's this? Mm-hmm. And my wife has told me, and the kids, that Mrs. Nosy Parker has died. And what a time of year for it to happen, right? Terrible for the bloke. I don't know if they've got kids. It's just the two of them. They're really close. They do everything together. I always see them. They go out on their little errands to the garden centre or to the dump or wherever else they go. I don't know. And I thought, this is horrible, right? The poor cunt. He's lost Mrs. Nosy Parker, his rock, at this special time of year. And I felt really gutted for him. And, you know, I'm not close enough to him to go and express what I felt, but I was hoping to bump into him at some point and get talking to him, because I thought, he'll be lonely now. Maybe I will nurture more of a friendship with this bloke, right?
But not and too much. You don't want to,
Not too much. I don't think me and him would get on that well, but I just, wanted to do something for him. Anyway, I've been feeling a little bit bad about the whole situation until fucking yesterday. I'm getting in the car, he walks out his front door, guess who's right behind him? That's right, his fucking wife. She's not
back
dead.
From the dead. Resurrection.
Yeah. I thought, what? I jumped out of my fucking skin, right?
It's a ghost.
I was like, what the fuck? Right, she didn't hear me because I was inside the car, but I've got to tell you, she's quite a spooky looking person anyway.
Well. Right?
So I'm not saying she looks like a zombie, but there are hints of zombie-ishness about her, right? And I thought, oh no, she's either come back to life as a zombie or she is a ghost. I don't fucking know. Anyway, I was also angry at my wife. Today, just before this podcast started, me and my wife were chatting about something or other. And as we're chatting, Mrs. Nosy Parker walks out, gets out of the car and walks into the house. And I just said to Anna, I went, oh, by the way, have a look over your shoulder because Mrs. Nosy Parker is fucking back from the dead. Anna's looked over. She went, fuck off. She's seen her. She's jumped over and said, fuck it up. And I went, why did you announce to me and the children that she was dead? And she said, well, there was a big wake.
I thought you were a good wife.
Yes. She said, her explanation was as follows. I saw there was a wake. I saw the man one, but I didn't see the woman one. So my assumption was it was her funeral.
Yeah.
And I said, do you know what I said to her? I said, this is why I am Britain's best journalist and you are not a journalist at all.
At all, no.
You do not announce deaths until you have got at least two independent sources to verify it, right? If possible, get a picture of the fucking corpse, right? You do not announce something as major as a death in the street on evidence as paper thin as that. And I'm kicking myself that I even fucking didn't question her further when she announced it. But she's my wife. She has always been a good wife. And therefore, I had faith in her. But the faith was misplaced. Either that, or do you know what she's claiming now? She's claiming she is a ghost.
Well, right, I wouldn't
try and
rule
get
it
out of it.
I wouldn't rule that out completely.
Well,
you need to do is you need to go up to her in the street, try and put your hand through her.
Well, my wife said, why don't you run across the street and then kick her up the bum?
Yeah.
And I said, and she went, and if your foot goes straight through, it's a ghost. And I said, well, what if it doesn't? And she said, just explain to her that... you'd heard she was dead.
Yeah.
And then just say, I'd heard you were dead. And when I saw you, I thought you were as a ghost, but I thought
assumed,
I better check.
Yeah, of course.
How else can you catch a ghost, Andy?
Well, it's Ghostbusters, isn't it? You've got those machines and the streams and everything.
Is there any, household food stuff that can lure out a ghost, cheese?
You mean,
or
when you put peanut butter down on a mousetrap?
Yeah, or do they like cheese or ham?
I don't know. I mean, we could reach again for the Usborne Book of Ghosts, which is still right next to where I'm sitting. But, I don't know.
Well, we'll keep thinking about this. It's a mystery, and maybe my wife's right. I thought, she's trying to get out of it by claiming she's a ghost. That's the easy thing to say, isn't it?
Have you downgraded her now from a good wife?
At the moment, the jury's out. Until we can establish whether or not the neighbour actually did die or not, the jury is out.
I don't know how you can be so blasé about pronouncing a death in
that
way.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. You can't... It's a big thing to say that the neighbours from across the street, someone has died at Christmas. Yeah. You don't just go, bad news, everyone. Mrs. Nosy Parker is dead. Mm. Get used to it. Do you know what I said to Anna? I said, listen, I have mourned that woman.
Yeah.
And that is 2 weeks of mourning down the drain.
Yeah. You can't get it
wasted.
Back, can you? You
can't
go
get
back.
It back. I put a lot of energy and emotion into mourning her, and now it was all for naught.
You've been thinking carefully about befriending the widow, or who you thought the widow was.
I could have accidentally sleptwalked into a friendship with a fucking man who's working on the roads who probably shares none of my interests or political beliefs.
Yeah. Fucking hell, what a mess.
I know.
I'll tell you what as well, not only will your wife never be a journalist, she'll also never get a job with them detectives around the corner outside the murder house.
No. Imagine that. Think he's dead. Better look into this. You could waste a fucking month of police time before you realise there was no death in the first place.
Yeah. Hey, listen, talking of where we live and that, I live on an estate and it's not... a through road. You can't go in one bit and then get out the other end. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's in a state. And we've got
once you're in, you're trapped.
Well, you're not trapped. There's an exit, but you need to know where it is.
But it's secret.
It's not secret. No,
only locals know of it.
No, it's the way you came in.
It's a tunnel.
It's only one way in, one way out.
Okay.
But it's not a maze. You know, it's not a happy course.
You're in now, mate, and you're never getting out again. It's like that song, Hotel California, only it's in Sunderland.
And there's no shops either. No, but we've got someone who rides around on a horse on the estate.
Great.
Which is the horseman. I love it. I love watching it. There's a young fella And it's also sometimes a young lady. I don't know if it's the same horse, but they only ever ride on one horse at a time. Makes my fucking day when I look out the window and I see the horse going
past. What are they doing? Why are they doing it?
Exercising it, I assume.
In Ireland, of course, every estate has a horse.
Yeah, of course. But
they're wild, though. No one rides them. They just go about the business on their own.
Castle has seen that when he was over there.
Oh, yeah. So all the horses on the estates.
Yeah. Thought I'd bring them on back. Thought better of it. But, they don't seem to be carrying anything. Any cargo, if that's
they're
the
just
right
using
word.
It for transport.
Yeah. Exercise
like in
or
the
transport.
Olden times.
They're not beasts of burden. They haven't got, like, a little tractor fastened to the back or anything. But it's nice to see, and I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't mentioned that before. A horseman on your estate.
I've got lots of stuff, but I'm trying to play a long game with this podcast. I'm trying to drag it out.
Yeah, I mean, this podcast, I mean, let's be honest, I'm almost out of all... I've almost described everything that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
Yeah, I know.
I'm 44, and, like, literally nothing that has happened to me has not been verbalised on this podcast, and we've only been going a year and a half, so thank fuck you're holding some stuff in reserve.
Every time you tell us a story, such as the murder or the funeral across the road, I'm just delighted. It's a topical one.
That something new has happened to me.
Not one from the archive.
That's why you're like, Sam, I know you don't like going out much. You prefer staying in with your slippers and your teapot.
Yeah.
But I really think you ought to start going out and experiencing things more. Because if not, frankly, we're going to run out of material.
Yeah, definitely.
You're listening to Andy Dawson and Sam Delaney, the hardest working cunts in podcasting.
Can I just read out a little series of tweets that someone alerted us to earlier on today?
Yeah.
I'll just find them. They came from StevieRed80. He's one of them people who's got a pair of sunglasses on in his avatar.
Ooh.
So, you know,
he might be
a prick. I'm not sure.
Red flag.
Yeah.
Alarm bells. Oh, no, but hang on a minute. I've got sunglasses on in my profile.
Have you?
Oh, that's really funny, because I wasn't saying ironic, I was genuinely like, alarm bells, probably a cunt. Oh no, hang on, that's me as well.
Oh well. Well, I mean, on mine, I've got bits of salad sellotaped in my face, so, you know,
sort of alarm bells,
Yeah. Anyway, this is a series of tweets that Stevie Red, he hasn't done himself, but they are by Alasdair Gold, who is the football correspondent for Spurs for football.london. And he says, Dimitar Berbatov still very much a rebel. He came into the media cafe at Spurs about 10 minutes before kickoff looking for food.
Nice.
As Berbatov would, as you'd expect.
Where is my food?
Yeah, bring the food. He grabbed a roll, but the catering manager came over and asked him where his pre-match meal voucher was.
Oh.
All media get these pre-match meal vouchers.
I know, I've had that before, yeah.
So obviously a bit of lamparding going on here from the catering manager.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. While Berbatov's colleague argued his case, having taken one himself, explaining who the Bulgarian was, Berbatov casually buttered his roll, stuffed the whole thing into his mouth, and stood in front of the woman. Oh, it was a woman. Mm. Stood in front of the woman with it hanging half out of his mouth, as if to say, what are you going to do about it now, huh?
Yeah. So, mate, it's already in my Bulgarian guts. It's in my guts now.
Yeah.
Your move, motherfucker.
Yeah. It says this sent the catering manager to a new level of outrage at the Bulgarian in his devil-may-care attitude.
Brilliant.
While she raged, Berbatov simply smiled with the buttered roll still hanging out of his mouth.
Excellent.
Before walking out of the room.
Yeah.
TTFN, dickheads.
TTFN, dickheads. That is... What I love about that is it's obviously brilliant, whoever you saw doing it, but it's so in keeping with Berbatov's... whole persona, isn't it?
Yeah, his whole lackadaisical approach.
I think for a while Berbatov was the best player in the world, but for like 5 minutes.
For five minutes.
No, because look at him. He was sort of like Zidane and Cantona rolled into one, right? Mm. He was huge and really strong, but he had that sort of like laid-back, lackadaisical way, and his ball control was like maybe the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of clips that people share on YouTube of him, like, pulling the ball out of the air, you know, 100 miles per hour and just, you know, caressing it as you may a woman. as a woman's earlobe.
Given the chance, yeah.
Given half the chance, yeah.
Yeah.
And then bring it, yeah, I mean, what a player he was. But unfortunately, he was blighted by insanity. That hiding... that hiding things in your guts reminds me of, we got off the train once, we were going away to Reading, I've probably told this, and the police have a certain cordon, don't they, for alcohol. And these were right Frank Lampard police, which is in keeping with the whole experience of going to Reading away, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking full of Lampard type people. And we got off the train and the police were waiting right there on the other side of the barrier, taking people's alcohol off them, mm-hmm, right?
Quite right.
But sometimes you'd be a few hundred yards out of the station, or sometimes you'd be practically at the ground. But no, these cunts have thought, no, we're going to do it the moment they come off the train platform, no beer. And we had all had beers in our hands, right? Large bottles of Budvar beer, oof, right? And quite a few in the carrier bag.
Strong beer.
And they went, give us your beers, please, lads. Really, impolite about it as well. Because they, despite that, you're an adult. But on a football day, the police think they can treat you like children. That said, I suppose, from their point of view, we were adults walking around on a train in the middle of the day drinking big bottles
behaving
of beer.
Behaving like children.
Yeah, so
drunk
I suppose.
Children.
Or, yeah, fair enough. We were children. They said, give us your beers. And we said, why? And they said, because this is the police cordon today. No beers beyond this point. And we said, what point? And they pointed at the line on the platform. Over this line, no beer. So we hid it all in our guts. We said, fine. And we had one over on the police that day because we stood in front of them gulping all of our beers down. And then as we walked off, my mate went, and the joke's on you because now we're much drunker than we would have been had you let us drink them at normal speed.
Yeah, we're going to cause so much more...
Now you're letting
so
us free.
They're
letting us free. We've been binge drinking. We were just normal drinking. Now we've just binge drunk, six bottles of Budvar between the three of us very quickly. It's all in our guts.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. TTFN, dickheads.
It was probably just going to be one of those airport documentaries where they would have just took you to one side and waited for you to piss it all out.
Yeah, that would be great.
Let you go.
Yeah, we're not letting you go until you've got all that beer out of your willy, and we want to see it all come out.
We're gonna wait for it to come from your guts and go all the way to the end of your willy and out.
I'm gonna watch it come out. Hang on, you're not allowed to do that. I'm allowed to do whatever I want, sunshine.
And I'm wearing a body cam as well, so it's going to be on YouTube.
Ain't you heard of the Guildford 4 and the Birmingham 6? Ain't you seen that film with Daniel Day-Lewis in The Name of the Father? We can do whatever the fuck we want, mate. Bad luck. You're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, you're going to squeeze every last drop of that beer out of your willy, or you are going down.
It's going into this bucket I've got here.
A pretty boy like you ain't going to have a nice time of it in the nick either.
Not with that willy you've got.
Yeah, you're going to be someone's bitch within the first 5 minutes once we get you in Brixton for an 8 stretch. You can't send me down for an 8 stretch. Don't worry, juries don't like faces like yours. Now get pissing.
I've only come to watch this mid-table championship clash. Yeah, you should have thought about that when he left the house, mate.
With all them beers. And that is the story of why I gave up drinking. Do you want to hear a riddle from Gavin Curry?
Yes, I do.
All right. Who am I? I'm from north of the border, but could be a Portuguese talker. Butcher and mariner had the next locker. My heart is huge and the colour of blood. On the airwaves for years, I've talked absolute crud.
Alan Brazil.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thanks for that, Gavin. But Andy got that first time, so
it's good,
everyone
though. It was well
try harder.
It was well crafted, but obviously not good enough for 3-2-1.
No. Here's one for Chris Johnson, from Chris Johnson. Riddle me ree, riddle me runt. I played for Liverpool and my name was like cunt. Who am I? And he's written at the end, do I win £5?
I'm thinking Roger Hunt.
Yeah.
Could be. Can you think of anyone
or
more
recent? Or maybe
it
doesn't rhyme with cunt, but he thinks
sounds
it's
like
a word
cunt
referring to a similar thing. There was the German player Stefan Kuntz, wasn't there? But he never played for Liverpool.
Yeah. Was there a player whose surname was Minge? It wasn't, was there?
Fanny. John Fanny played in the Bill Shankly early team when they were first getting promoted.
Probably him then. That'll be who it was then.
Yeah, Bill Fanny, we're saying. Chris, get in touch and tell us whether we were right or whether we were wrong, to quote Danny Dyer on the wall.
Jalapeño.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
There's a couple here from Rob Walsh. You can try this one, Sam. Signed for Spurs from Germany, they played him up the front, scored some good goals in his time, but he was a diving cunt.
Jürgen Klinsmann.
Dead easy.
Easy.
Too easy. This one, I would say again, also very easy, but see what you think. Spice Boy at Wembley, white suit, proper scouse. If you live in Liverpool, he probably owns your house.
Robbie Fowler.
Robbie Fowler, yeah. No danger
there.
These
aren't cryptic enough. I think the bar was set by my Kevin Phillips riddle.
Yeah.
Listen back to that, because that really, I think that's sort of like the template for a good riddle. Rather than just being descriptive in rhyme, there is a certain cryptic characteristic to it.
Yeah. And also, I wasn't bright enough to be able to work it out.
Kevin Technics.
Here's a one, Kevin Technics. Here's a one from Jed Williamson. Riddle me this, he says, in the spirit of the whole thing. I look like Eric Idle. As a footballer, I was able. But what I might be remembered for is when I shot a table.
Well, this is funny, because I thought someone shot a table on Superstars once, and I knew someone had done it, but I was racking my brains. Who was it? Now, I was listening to Life Goals, Theo Delaney's podcast.
Excellent podcast.
With our friend, this week's episode just dropped today, with our good friend, Mr. Alex Lowe.
Lovely.
Alex Lowe, QPR fan, lifelong QPR fan, and he's talking, one of the goals he chooses is by one of the great characters of the game, Stan Bowles. And in conversation with Theo, he goes, oh, remember, and Stan Bowles, of course, shot that table in Superstars.
Ah.
And this fucking riddle, which had been sent to us a few days ago, it went, bang, there we go. Fucking Stan Bowles. Then I thought, does Stan Bowles look like Eric Idle? I suppose he does a little bit.
Yeah, he does a bit, yeah.
Never noticed it before. That. But thank you to Alex Lowe, basically, for letting us know.
The cosmos presented the answer to you there, didn't it?
Mate, you know, like, I'm really into the cosmos and the universe, and it's guiding me.
Yeah.
It's been guiding me a lot over the last few days. Many weird coincidences in that, mate. Like, really. But now, you know, before, I won't go into all the coincidences because they're a bit boring. Other people's coincidences are a bit like other people's dreams.
And holiday photos.
Yeah, but before I asked the Cunters to say that the universe is sending me signs, but I don't know what the signs mean. I need to know how to interpret them so I know what to do. But I've since learned, I've read up on it, you don't need to. What the signs are telling you is everything's going right. You're doing everything right. Crack on, mate.
Keep on keeping on. Right, okay.
Yeah, that's what it's trying to tell me. So that's nice. Good to know, isn't it?
Cheers, Cosmos.
Thank you, Cosmos, for all the hard work you've been doing.
That'd be a nice T-shirt for us, wouldn't it? Cheers, Cosmos.
Cheers, Cosmos. Yeah. I had another one, a good T-shirt idea. Oh, I can't remember it. Right. Hi, Andy.
I've got
Andy
one more here.
Oh, yeah, go on.
From The Professor.
Ooh.
So you would think this is going to be a
Big
tricky
talk.
One, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a piece of piss. See how quickly you can get it, actually. An arrow near my eye, but it never lost its twinkle. In Germany, I became addicted to Kuchensprinkle.
Of course, our good friend Kevin Keegan.
Of course, it's Kevin Keegan, yeah.
Yeah, an easy one. Come on, lads, make them harder. I think the best one so far is the Stan Bowles one. Because yeah, I only solved that, like I say, by listening to the To Life Goals.
And you wouldn't have got it if the Cosmos hadn't intervened. So again, yeah, cheers exactly. Cosmos.
Thanks for everything. Oh, that's a good T-shirt. My dad thought his last words were, if I don't see you again, thanks for everything. That's a good one, isn't it?
It is.
Right, this is an email that's not a riddle, but the title is very, very alluring. The title of the email is Squirrel in School.
Yes.
And Gareth Dace...
Back on track.
Exactly. Gareth Dace has sent it to us, and there's lots of things in the favour of this email. One is, that's a great title. Two is, Gareth Dace's picture, avatar, is Gazza shouting his head off in, I think, the 1991 FA Cup final, just before he goes mad and breaks his own leg for a laugh out of sheer excitement.
A brief period where he's on the pitch, yeah.
And he's also bullet-pointed the email, which we always approve of, because we can't be bothered reading through your appalling prose style. And I mean that to all of you. Anyone who's ever sent us an email, you are barely literate, so keep it simple, right? And that's what he's done. Heard a story from a friend who works in a school. Over Christmas break, the school became home to a number of squirrels. On first day back of term, pest control were called in. Excellent.
Good stuff.
Pest control. Oh, pest control there. Imagine being pest control.
Yeah.
I would love us to get some sort of work experience that we could film. You know, a ride along, but with pest control.
After we've done the one at the butcher shop.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've been offered quite a few butcher shop internships since the last episode. Hey, well, it turns out loads of cunters are butchers. I was offered a internship for a week at a butcher shop in Preston anytime I wanted. This is what I'm saying, mate. This is rhinestone cowboy stuff.
I've just remembered I was at a gathering at a mate's house a few months ago. And there were a few people there I didn't know, I hadn't met before. And one of them was a butcher.
Oh, did you slide a lap to him?
And we had lots of butchery chat, drunken butchery chat. It was great.
I've heard you're a butcher, mate.
Yeah.
That's right. I might be. What of it?
Yeah.
So I've heard whispers you're a butcher.
We might be able to get in with him. Do a bit of butchery backpacking.
I'd love to do one of those programmes where you ride along with pest control. There's probably been a programme like that already. It's Tuesday. And there is a stoat caught in some guttering in Preston. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On first day back to pest control, were called in. Pest control consisted of one bloke who stated he'd need to complete a risk assessment, which he did by tapping the side of his head and saying, but I do it all up here. I do it all up here, don't I? It's the only equipment I need. The old noggin. In sight of several Year 7 students, the pest controller removed a stick that looked like a pooper scooper. He whacked the squirrel square on the head, rendering it instantly motionless, with kids and staff observing aghast. Right, I saw what to do with a squirrel. Right, very simple. Watch this. Bang!
Bang! Stunned it.
When asked if the squirrel was dead, the pest controller went to pains to explain that it was just stunned and that he would take it outside where it would be able to run around some fields very soon. No. It's just stunned. I'll take it out and it'll be as happy as Larry running through the fields.
I'll
for a start, that's not even
bag.
What squirrels like doing.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, great pest control story. Thanks for that. That's it. Thanks for that, Gary. I've got to carry out a pest control first, a risk assessment first. Don't worry, though. I do it all up here. Tap, tap.
We've got a couple of messages from Hazel Lawrence, who is an IFS contest.
Yeah.
And she's given us a riddle first. She says, riddle me this. With a famous Norwich bird, I share my name. Wool production is my game.
Wool production.
Wool, yeah. Wool. As in the wool from a sheep.
A Norwich bird. That's canary.
It's a canary.
There's never been a footballer called Canary.
It's either Canary or Delia Smith. Norwich Bird.
Smith.
Who's wool production? Who does wool production, though?
The footballer who does wool production, whose name is either Smith or Canary. Oh, this is a riddle and
unless
a half.
She's gone off grid and it's not a football one.
Well,
I don't know. Hazel,
if that's the case, then she's broken the rules.
You might have stumped us, Hazel. If you have, send us the answer and we'll decide whether it fits within the remit of the rules. So you might be disqualified or you might have beaten us.
Now, you know how I was a bit scared about doing work experience at a butcher's because I thought they'd bully me when they found out I was a vegetarian?
Yep.
We've got some confirmation here of the butcher's bullying nature. It's from Daniel Jackson, and the title of the email is simply Butcher Bullying. He says, "Hi, Sam's butcher intern fantasy."
Fantasy. It is, though. It is.
Reminded me of a Saturday job I had when I was 12 or 13. I took a job at the local butcher's mainly to get more sawdust into my already sawdust-fueled childhood. We've had a lot of feedback about sawdust. It proved a popular topic.
Yeah.
On my first day, the lads there made me feel at home by making me a cup of tea. As I finished it off, I was surprised to find a cow's eye at the bottom of my mug. I didn't stay in that job for long. Different times, Daniel. The cunts. Want a tea, do you, lad? Oh, yes, that would be lovely, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. Get that down, ya. Ah, fucking cow's eye, that. You weren't expecting that, were you, little shit?
Fuck off.
Think you can come in here? Think you can know the ways of a butcher? Just like that. Takes years, lad.
They're all up here. Part two as well, you mentioned sawdust there. Part two from Hazel Lawrence. She says, "I'm married to a cabinet maker."
Ooh.
That's interesting. Fucking hell, football podcast turned into a situation where we're both going, it's somebody
cabinet maker. I'd like to know more about that. That is something I'm interested in.
Maybe
I could do some cabinets. Where we're going, money we're making out of this podcast now, there could be work in that. We'll be ordering up some cabinets soon. Special top light time machine ones.
Hazel, can you ask Mr. Lawrence if he'd be interested in a deal where we put together some TFTM branded cabinets
to sell on the website?
So anyway, she says, "I'm married to a cabinet maker. We have tons of sawdust that nobody wants, apart from people with composting toilets." Yeah. "I'm very interested in the cabinets. I'm not interested in the composting toilets."
Nah.
Don't want to know about that.
No. Right, what else we got here?
One more before we finish.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got one more as well. Go on, you do yours first.
No, I haven't got one more. I was telling you to do one
more. Okay. This is Dream Chat, of course, is banned, not just on this podcast, but really in polite society.
Yeah.
But T. O'Brien has fucking chanced his arm, hasn't he?
Well,
he's gambled on being banned by sending us an email with the title, "Yes, I know you don't do dream content, but I thought the cheeky cunt." But the email was short and it was over Christmas and I had not much to do. So I thought, fuck it, I'll give it a read. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And I quite liked it. Here we go. "This recent dream needs analysing. I'm on stage at some sort of... I like it when people have weird, distressing dreams now. The first thing they think is, we'll go straight to Top Flight Time Machine for analysis rather than a shrink or a doctor or a priest, which
we're
is what they would have done
really,
before we invented this podcast. It's like, did you hear the other night where... Did you see a tweet where there was a couple in bed together and they both listened to Top Flight Time Machine?"
No.
Which I like it when couples listen together.
Yeah.
And I think the wife had nicked quite a lot of duvet, which is obviously a perennial problem in most marriages, especially at this time of year. And it was the middle of the night, and the bloke woke up, grabbed a corner, and rolled over, pulling most of it with him, and woke her up. And he just said in his sleep, he just went, "TTFN, dickhead." Apologies if you're listening. I haven't given your name a shout out. I just remember reading that tweet and I can't be bothered looking it up now.
The same subject, I saw someone tweet the other day that it was a woman and her husband had both taken delivery of double duvets for their double bed. So they've got a double one each now. And she said, "We will never look back."
We will
that
never
is an,
look back.
I've never heard that idea, but the when you make the bed, you make the bed in the morning, it's harder to make the bed because you've got, presumably they just lay one exactly on top of the other.
Yeah.
So it's quite neat, but I think it's, I like a bed to be neatly made.
Unless they have, unless they have the edge hanging down, right down to the floor on either side, and then a little bit of overlap in the middle.
That wouldn't look that neat to me.
It doesn't need to look neat. It doesn't need to. It's not about appearance. It's about performance.
No, but when you walk into your room, when you walk into your rig in the evening at 9:55 p.m., readying yourself for
bed. Ready for bedtime.
Right. It's nice if you walk in and your bed just looks nice and welcoming.
Okay.
And made. If it's all messy, it, I don't know, your head doesn't get into the right sleep space, in my opinion.
Right. I think that might be just something that's just unique to you.
All right. Well, anyway, this recent dream needs analysing, says T. O'Brien. I'm on stage at some sort of political rally in a huge packed Italian football stadium. So I guess think the San Siro or something. People are clearly there to see me for some reason. The man next to me stands up as if to introduce me to the crowd. Then he says, "You are a very fat man and you are a very ugly man." Then I'm being chased around the concourses by an angry mob. Nice that my subconscious would set me up for a fall in such a grandiose circumstance. Anyway, TTFM, Tom O'B, Sheffield. Well, that is, I mean, Dream Chat is banned. And if you're listening, don't think we're giving the green light for any more dream analysis. No. We're not interested. But I, that tickled me.
It's got to be
he
at
thinks,
least
here,
as good
here
as
I go.
One.
Here I go. I'm going to be the new leader of Italy.
Yeah.
Right? They love me. They want me to be their new president. And here's where I get introduced to everyone by this important man. You are a very fat man and a very ugly man. And then you're being chased by the Italians.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it mean, do you think? I don't care. I'm not going to dwell on it. It's
I don't.
Good.
I just take it at face value. It's an entertaining dream. It's exciting. Yeah. It's exhilarating. Yeah. And just take it. Take it as it is. Don't try and read anything into it.
He's had what they describe as mild peril, hasn't he? On the cinema listings at the beginning of a film contains scenes of mild peril.
Yeah, mild peril, which is good. You like not all dreams. You don't want all dreams like it, but having the odd dream that has mild peril in it is fun.
Yeah, keeps you alive, doesn't it? Keeps you going. Oh, well, that's good. That's the end of this one. We're going to be back with, I think we're still doing the Ripley's again this week, aren't we?
Dragging well, let's just quickly talk about that because we want there'll be non-subscribers listening to this because this is a free podcast.
Yeah.
And we want as many of them as possible to sign up this year to the Patreon IFS because then they'll get the paid ones. And so I want to on these ones be very clear about what our intentions are, because if we say it's just another Ripley's, then where's their incentive to sign up?
I'm just saying that because we said we were going to stop it at Christmas.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is let's give people a heads up about what we might do next, because I think this should maybe be the last Ripley's. My book that I would like to do is Michael Owen, but you're going to have to get it.
Yeah, I haven't got time to do that this week. I've got a mince live two at the plan for.
So
you can do it yourself if you want.
What on earth do you mean by that? What? Yeah, what? You remind me sometimes of my cat who is volatile, right? You've gone, do it.
Well, yeah.
All I said was, let's do Michael Owen, and you literally gone, yeah? You want to do Michael Owen, do you? Do it on your fucking own.
Now you missed the bit where I said I haven't got time to do it this week. That's all.
Well, I'm not going to do it on my own, am I? We'll
not,
do Ripley's, and then we'll do... You can read the Michael Owen book while you're on the road.
That sounds good. That sounds
while
like
you're
a
on
compromise.
The train.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Fair enough. Thanks for listening. It's ended badly, this one, but...
on a sour note.
But we'll be back. TTFN, dickheads.
Keep it cunty.
Time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.